All right, so we don't have a fancy setup like the guys over at LFG do with all their fancy sponsors, but thanks for coming over, dude.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I heard, did you really paint a fridge before you ever painted everything else?
Yeah.
Was it like a nice fridge or just like
No, it was like, you know, like a mini fridge that you'd like have in your room or your garage. So what I was working at a paint jobber in El Cajon, just selling paint.
Okay.
Anytime we had mess ups, I could take the paint home. And there was like this weird blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit up my boss. I was like, how much for this? And he's like, I'll just buy the hardener and you can have it. And I was like, okay, cool. So that was my first. It was like a single stage paint. And I went home and I painted my fridge.
Oh, so this was your fridge. You were just like.
Well, I lived in a sober living.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
I was managing a sober living. I had like 13 guys, 13 beds. And I was a manager. And I would just paint in the driveway. Just random stuff. Like I painted my Mustang and then I painted my Dodge Neon and I painted this fridge and I was newly clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like probably a year clean, less than a year clean. And I just doing stuff with my hands. You know what I mean? I was like redoing furniture and chairs.
You were just staying busy.
And just staying busy. And it was like creating stuff. I was constantly creating and it just morphed into the painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a guy give me a job like fixing bumpers. Mobile bumper repair, and that was the first time I had a gun in my hand, and I was hooked.
That was it, huh?
But I wanted to do more. You know what I mean? Like I was just doing repair work, and I mean like painting dump end boxes, RVs, boats, hauling trailers, like bumpers on cars, just panel repair work. It's not fun. It's just labor, and there's like 30 seconds of painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I wanted to do this custom thing, and I didn't know how to do it. And I had tried a couple times in the garage. Like, I painted, like, a paint can and just trying to airbrush. I didn't know shit, bro. I knew absolutely nothing. And
but you were doing it.
But everything that I did, like, would fail or, like, I'd run into all these problems and I'd see all these other guys work. And I'm like, I just want to know how to do that.
Hmm.
I just couldn't figure it out because there were really no resources. You know what I mean? There's YouTube, but you can only get so much.
Right.
Off of line. So I eventually found somebody that was willing to teach me. And I bugged him multiple times on social media.
Who was it?
His name's Manny Cisneros.
Shout out to Manny.
He lives in El Cajon.
Okay.
Right? And his shop is right behind Gillespie Field. And I hit him up a bunch. And somebody linked me up with him. They're like, hey, I see what you're doing. And I saw that you're looking for an apprenticeship. Manny's always looking for help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the middle of COVID. I didn't need no money. Unemployment was paying me. So I was like, all right, that was my chance. I hit dude up and I said, I don't want any money from you. I just want to learn. I just want to work. I'll come in every day. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I don't care what it is. I just want to fucking learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a couple messages like that before he was like, you know what? Just come down to the shop. Let me see. And I painted that first Dyna and it was, I'm not going to say it was ugly. A lot of people say it was really, really cool.
It was rude from what I understand.
But it was like way overdone,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, and there's a lot of new artists that do the same thing. Like you get these stencils and then you throw every single fucking stencil on this bike, right? And
now you have a mess.
Yeah. And it's, to me, it's not tasteful.
Okay.
Right? But it was my start. And he checked it out. He didn't say nothing bad, you know what I mean? But it's just not his style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he allowed me to come in every day.
Right.
And just work and do labor. And it didn't matter what it was, but it would just work and work and work. And then he finally gave me a key to the shop. So I was going there and cleaning and redoing his paper and like doing all these little things before he even came in, you know?
Sweeping the floors,
right? That's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeping the floors and cleaning up the shop and doing whatever he asked me to do. And it was a lot of sanding, just sanding and sanding and sanding and sanding. Every once in a while, he'd let me paint something. You know what I mean? But it was always the labor part of the work.
This sounds like wax on, wax off.
It's 100% what it is. It's wax on, wax off. And every artist that is like somebody now will tell you the same thing. Like, this is how it started for me. It was like working in a shop for somebody else and just doing all the labor part. You know, I didn't get to do the artist part until later.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, he'd let me paint something. I remember we did this like tribal theme bike together because I was kind of like new age and he was still old school, but I had a cry cut, right? And a lot mm-hmm. of guys, that's what they're doing these stencils with now, right? So I was able to print out all these tribal stencils and it kind of backfired on me because I had to weed them and it took me like an hour per sheet and there was like God knows how many sheets on this bike, right? But he let me I think I painted like one of the saddlebag lids on this whole bagger. You know what I mean? But it was like that little bit. Like I got to have a little piece.
You're like, I'm hooked. Yeah. I'm hooked.
I was hooked. I was hooked. The first bagger we did together was for a Fishtails show.
Yeah, it sounds so much clearer if you talk into the right there.
Feels weird.
Just move it, bro. It's on a boom, dog. Yeah, it feels weird. You can move it however you want.
The first bagger we did was for a Fishtails show in LA.
Okay, yeah. Was that the Long Beach one?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Manny does a lot of bikes like that. Right?
Okay.
And
you don't have to hold it. It'll stay, I promise.
And he painted the whole bike, and I watched him paint the bike, and it was just like masking and unmasking and helping him change paper and tape and stuff like that, right? And it was a full metal flaked bike, and there was like this cream color.
Okay.
It was like a orange tangerine over metal flake. And I remember holding these parts while he's polishing it, right? I'm just holding parts. You know what I mean?
You're just standing there with your hands up.
I'm just holding the parts while he's polishing them so they don't go flying across the shop, right? And I remember the shine coming back on these bag lids, and I was like awestruck at how beautiful these pieces looked. Like, it looked like candy. It looked like gemstones. Mm-hmm. And I was hooked on the idea of metal flaking and candy painting everything because it just looked so good. And I don't even still think like anything that I've done to this day looks as good as like that did when we were finishing that bike. But that's what hooked me.
That was it.
That was it. And then everything has been metal flaking candy ever since.
Just been going hard. Dude, so the first time I saw one of your bikes painted was Biltwell. It had to have been 21.
Parts and labor.
Parts and labor, 21. I think it was 21. It might have been 22. No, it was 21. When they were in the smaller convention center, there was a blue bike there.
Yeah.
And my buddy was like, oh, fuck, that's a rude paint job. And I didn't know at the time. That was the first time I'd seen your work.
I have no idea who the fuck that is.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but I remember being like, yo, that's fucking tight. And then I think, maybe a year and a half later or something, we all went up to Yosemite.
Yeah.
And my fucking buddy won your raffle.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool. Shout out to Garrett. That dude had been entering your for a long ass time.
That's most people's story, dude.
Yeah.
There's only one winner. There can only be only one.
Yep. What was it, like $50 a spot you were doing, selling out so many. And he had told me he was super excited because that was like his dream to get a Ruby paint job done. And he had told me, like, I entered this raffle. I've entered a bunch of them. And he had a super clapped out Dyna at the time. Yeah. Like, that thing was clapped. And I was like, oh, right on, man. Like, yeah, Zach's fucking cool as shit. Like, this paint's fucking amazing. That'd be tight if you won, you know, not thinking he's gonna.
Right.
And then it was like 4 p.m. I was actually taking a nap because I'm lazy. And he calls me and he's like, dude, I won. And I'm like, won what? And he's like, I won the rude paint raffle. Yeah. I didn't even believe him. I had to go watch your thing. Yeah. But that bike turned out fucking amazing. That orange candy you did.
Yeah.
Dude, he babies the fuck out of it.
And I think, like, we talked about that bike that I did with Manny. It was orange. It was tangerine, right? And Jared's bike was the first time that I actually got to use orange candy on a bike. And that's kind of what he asked for. He sent me a couple pictures of ideas that he wanted, but he's like, just do your thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I really like when people do that because I'm able to do whatever I want. And that's how he ended up with the paint scheme that he ended up with. Mm-hmm. It's like me just running tape lines and doing whatever I want.
That's kind of what I was going to ask because, like, you're the artist. Yeah. Like, people are paying you to put art on their motorcycle, right?
Right.
Okay, these are the colors I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, go for it. So I was going to ask, is that something, I feel like that's kind of what you should do with tattoo artists as well? Like, is there something you really want to do kind of thing? Or
I think at the end of the day, everybody needs a concept, right? At least I do. Like, you probably look at 20-year painters, they don't need an idea, right? But I need you to give me an idea. Like, what is in your mind? Or have you seen something that you like?
Mm-hmm.
And I can take that and make it our own vision,
right?
And I think that's just based because I'm so new.
You keep saying you're new.
Well, you got to think. Like, I hang out with people like Taylor Schultz.
Right? Yeah.
He's been in the game 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking new.
Dude. Yeah, okay, you know what I mean?
Like, my knowledge is a drop in the bucket compared to some of these guys.
Yeah.
So that's why I'll probably always say that I'm new, but it's also the humility aspect of it.
Right.
I'm not nobody fucking special. I'm just a fucking painter who paints in his garage, and I like what I do. Right.
The world might disagree because I look at your paint jobs and I'm like, God damn.
And I appreciate that more than anything. I think my downside is like I'm constantly comparing myself to all the guys that are up here.
Well, I mean, if that's your standard.
And that's what I aim for, right? That's what I'm striving to be. I don't want to just impress my wife and my friends.
Right.
I want to impress these guys that have been doing this shit for 20 years.
Right.
I want them to be like, holy fuck, this dude is actually out here doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I want. And I strive for that. Mm-hmm. Right. I want to put out good stuff. I feel like we got way off topic. I don't know what I was talking about.
We were talking about you painting fridges.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just started rolling, doggy.
Yeah. It's a very casual conversation.
Just rolled right on
that
into
refrigerator
it.
Still works to this
Does
day.
It? Still Do you still
the,
have it?
No, it's in the same house.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Fairmont property.
Oh, shit.
That's what it's called, Fairmont Park Recovery.
So you were managing a recovery center?
Yeah. Well, it's a recovery house. It's just okay. Like a house of dudes in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's drug addicts or alcoholics, and they come there to stay clean and sober, right? Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by a bunch of people that are doing the same things, trying to stay clean and sober.
Right.
And I owe a lot of my life to them now because I stayed there for 3 years. And it gave me a foundation to be able to go out on my own. And like, I no longer have the desire to drink or use or do drugs or fuck off my life like I have been for the last...
However long.
Right.
Right.
And that's kind of where my painting thing started too. It was just... in the garage, fucking around, and they were cool enough to let me do it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? They let me paint a whole two cars in the driveway. They didn't say nothing.
They're like, "Stay busy, dude. Stay busy."
They didn't say nothing. So,
fuck yeah, dude. That's fucking tight. I didn't know that. I had no idea how you got started.
Yeah.
I just assumed like you were painting stuff in high school or something.
Dude, I didn't pick up a paint gun until I was 30.
Really?
Yeah, I was 30 years old, and this is the weirdest part. As I remember being in jail this last time, it was like 7 years ago now, right? Okay. I remember writing down on a piece of paper that things that I wanted to do, right? Just ideas or whatever. I was just writing. And I knew that I didn't want to use again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was 30 years old. I had just been arrested again. I'm back in jail again, surrounded by a bunch of grown ass men who can't manage their own motherfucking lives. We're all in jail together again.
Again.
Right? And I'm like, I don't want to fucking do this. And I'm looking at prison time. I don't want to do this again. Like, this sucks.
What were you looking at prison time for?
They tried to offer me 10 years.
Oh, shit.
Cool thing about California is because they're like, oh, but the judge has the opportunity of giving you this drug program, right?
Okay.
So you got to do a year in county, and then you'll have to go to the drug program or whatever the fuck it was.
What? It was better than 10 years.
Right. And so thankfully, the judge gave me the drug program because I didn't have any priors out here in California.
Okay.
But my dumb ass, bro... They gave me the program. They picked me up, took me to the program. I walked in the program, and I turned right the fuck back out and walked right out. I was like, I'm not doing this.
No
I don't
want to
do a drug program. Yeah, I'm such an idiot, dude. Like, I'm so dumb, and I just want to do things my way, right? Yep. I don't want to listen to the system. I don't want to follow the man, even though I'm looking at prison time.
Yeah, you're about to do things the state's way.
Right. And, I mean, thankfully, I didn't get loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I stayed clean that whole time. I ended up in sober living. I got a job. I was just doing labor. But eventually I had to talk to probation again.
Mm.
And they were like, hey, bud.
So how's that program going?
They were like, you're supposed to be in custody. Because technically when you're in the program, it still counts as in custody time, right? You're in custody of the program.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't in custody that whole time. They're like, we're going to lock you back up.
No.
If I'd been out for a month or longer, clean, I had a job, probably already had a girlfriend. I did already have a girlfriend because she's the one that took me to the probation office. And they're like, yeah, we have to put you back in jail. I was like, fuck. I had to go back to jail clean, go back through booking, clean, and start that whole process all over again. And thankfully, I had like all these letters of recommendation from people that were like, he's doing the right thing. You know what I mean? My boss, the sober living managers, all these people that had been watching me over the last month. And the judge was like, all right, I'm going to put you in work release.
Okay.
Which basically is like... daycare, you know what I mean? Like you have to go check in every night when you get off work, and then you can leave in the morning to go to work.
Okay. And you live in a
dorm
okay
facility, right? So it's not managed by cops, it's just like private security dudes. And the crazy part is like there's so much drugs and alcohol and like all this shit gets smuggled in all the time. So it's like you're trying to navigate all of this and stay out of trouble.
Right.
While everybody else is just fucking off. You know what I mean? And doing dumb shit. And thankfully, like, I made it through that.
So that's still better than 10 years.
Oh, so much better. And, I mean, I ended up being on probation for a long time, but I didn't have anything to worry about because I wasn't doing nothing wrong. For the first time in my life, like, I was on paper And it didn't matter. I wasn't mm-hmm. doing drugs. I wasn't doing anything dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter if my probation officer wanted to see me.
Yeah, you were.
I was good.
You weren't hiding anything.
Yeah, I had nothing to hide. I was like doing everything that I was supposed to be doing for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. And I mean, I didn't know it would turn into what it is today.
It's turned into something, brother.
But everybody tells you, they're like, yo, just stick around for a fucking year. Just mm-hmm. give us 1 year. And if your life doesn't change, then go back to doing what the fuck you're doing. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But give it a year. And like that's what I told myself. I was like, all right, I'm going to stick around for a year. I'm going to stay in this sober living for a year. I'm going to go to meetings. I'm going to do all the things that all these fucking weirdos are telling me to do. Because I started seeing men that were like me, right? They were covered in mm-hmm. tattoos. They had done a lot of time. And they just struggled their entire lives to get their shit together. But I seen them. And they had Harleys. And they had cars. And they had jobs. And they had wives. And they had kids. Some of them already had fucking homes. You know, right?
These guys got their shit together.
I'm like, they have their shit together, but they look like me and they share my story
mm-hmm.
talking about being a piece of shit, never amounting to anything in their entire fucking lives. And it's like, okay, I can feed off of that. If that dude can do it, then I have to be able to do it too.
Right.
But the thing with addicts is like, we're impatient. We want everything now.
Well, instant gratification.
Instant gratification. Yep. I don't want to have to wait seven mm-hmm. fucking years to have the baby and the wife and the house and the bike and the truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how fucking long it took though. It took me a while
right.
to get all those things. I'm just grateful that I didn't leave
yeah.
before all this stuff started happening in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, but I owe a lot of that to the painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I didn't, when I started the Rude Paint page, I get mad at people for doing this because they paint one thing and then they start a paint page and they're like, oh, open for business. my books are open. Right. And I kind of did the same thing. But the thing is like...
You're like, I got this fridge. I painted the fridge.
I got this refrigerator, and it's got these GT Mustang emblems on it, dude. It's sweet.
$3,000.
But the thing is I never offered my services or my books are open. Still, to this day, I have never, ever made a post about my books are open or I'm booking for this month or, mm-hmm. or that. Like, the work has just kind of came.
Right.
You know? And thankfully, like, I've had friends that have trusted me to paint their bikes, and they were willing to pay me. And then somehow mm-hmm. the dealers were like, yeah, we want to do a couple bikes. You know what I mean? And it's like, that was scary. I've always had this, like, huge fear of, like, I'm not going to be able to deliver what these people want, right? And it's still there in my brain every time somebody asks me to do a bike. It's like a lack of self-belief, even though all of you will say it's amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
Something inside me tells me it's still not good enough, right?
And that's just you trying to be great, bro.
But I'll probably struggle with that my entire fucking life. But I'm starting to build a little bit more confidence, mm-hmm. like especially within the last year, because I just keep doing it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And
nobody's looking for perfection, dude. Everybody's looking for progress. And the amount of progress you've made in 4 years from not painting to where you're at now, painting bikes for Moco, painting bikes for Indian.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I mean, I hang out with some dudes with some pretty nice paint jobs, and everybody loves your fucking paint jobs.
Yeah.
You know?
It's wild. I never imagined any of this. I never imagined, like... the following count, like none of it. I never expected that it would morph into like what the fuck.
Yeah,
it is today.
I didn't realize.
Mind blowing.
I didn't realize how big your Instagram actually is. Like, wild. I went to message you the other day because I'm like, yeah, I know Zach, he painted my buddy's bike. He does fucking sick bikes. We hung out in Yosemite, had a really good fucking time. That was where I really got to know you. And then I went to message you the other day, like, hey, you down to come on? You're like, yeah, next week. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Zach's a famous person.
Like, it's wild. But you want to know what's crazy? It's like, it's just viral reels that have done that for me. You know what I mean? It's not like...
It's not like you know those people.
It wasn't organic growth. Mm-hmm. Or you could call it organic, but it's not really. Like, I get reels that just fucking go viral. We're talking like millions of views. And mm-hmm. that just brings in all these followers. And the downside of that is none of these people are really supporting the paint.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to see the next...
More. They want to see it again.
Yeah, the next content video, right? Mm-hmm. They're not really saying, hey... do you want to paint my helmet? Or, hey, do you want to paint my bike? Or, yeah, I'm going to buy one of these spots in this raffle. And don't get me wrong, like, a lot of people do that too. But most of these people are, like, fucking in other countries. Right? Mm-hmm. I have followers.
Yeah, India's huge on Instagram.
All over the world.
Yep.
But they're not going to hit me up and be like, hey, can you paint my fucking helmet?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the downside of having this huge following is, like, you post something, only 3% of the people
engage with it.
And mm-hmm. like, is that 3% even people that like support my work?
Or of that 3%, probably 3% of those people are like, in the market for getting a bike painted.
Right. Really willing to spend money
right.
on something like this. And that's the downside of Like, it looks cool when people go to your page. They're like, oh, cool, he's got 55,000 followers, right? But it don't mean shit to me if it's not making me no fucking money.
Right. There's a little K next to how many followers you got.
Yeah, oh, he's doing big things. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's cool that many people see my work, and they're like, I want to follow this dude. I want to see what he does next. You know, whether they're buying anything or not, you know?
Dude, it's...
It's still cool.
Whatever you're doing, it's fucking working.
Yeah.
Like, you're knocking out of the park. You're painting...
I should be a social media marketer before I'm a painter.
You're like, this is how you Instagram good.
Yeah, this is how you Instagram good, you know? And I just, honestly, I think it was luck, dude.
Really?
Yeah, one of my first reels.
Okay, I want you to start giving yourself a little bit more credit, because a part of it, yeah, like catching a viral video, I'm sure that is luck.
Yeah.
But you put that work in to get you to that. No, I can make the most dope viral video. If it's of me sitting there with my feet kicked up on a fucking desk, it's not going to go viral.
Right.
So it's that work that you put in that got you that.
Yeah.
Give yourself some credit there, bro.
You're right. Like, Brendan Begraff told me, he's like, we're not doing any self-deprecating this year. And I was like, we'll see.
You're like, I'm going to keep myself humble.
We'll see about that. If you guys aren't going to humble me, I'm going to do it myself. Yeah, right.
Well, Brendan's just positive.
He is.
Like, hype man.
He is.
Energy just all the time.
He's the man you want in your corner, dude, if you need to be pumped up. For sure.
Yeah, if you need, like, a positive flow, Brendan's the guy that'll bring it, dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck yeah.
So, I never imagined that, like, the social media would blow up, or, like, I would even chase this thing as hard as I have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know I was going to get bit by a bug, but once I started, I was like, I couldn't fucking stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like that part of me that was like, oh my God, I'm fucking 30. I'm trying to start a new career. I got no experience doing anything else in my life but shooting heroin, which you can't get paid for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, there was this like gnawing feeling of like, I have to get good fast. And I have to chase this as hard as I possibly can, because in order to be on a stage with all these other guys that have been doing it for 20 years, I need to be able to put something on the table that's close.
Right.
You know? And that was the goal, was like, I want to be able to be good enough where I could stand next to some of these other dudes that have been painting for 20 years and like still be able to throw my name in the hat, you know?
2 minutes before we started this, you were on the phone with a guy who's one of the most respected fucking painters around and has been doing it for fucking 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, who was that? And you told me, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dude, the weirdest thing about that is like, when I first started, I remember messaging Taylor Schultz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just asking a question. And of course, he didn't fucking write me back, right? Like, he probably gets
a million.
God knows how many messages about paint work, right? From newbies like me that are like, hey, what do you do when this happens?
I painted a fridge.
Yeah. I painted my refrigerator and this happened, right? So he never wrote back. And I fucking got a resentment over it for no reason. Even though the dude has no idea who I am, right? He has no fucking clue that
it's completely fair on his part, right?
And completely fair on his part. Like, he's busy. Like, the dude is a fucking workhorse. Like, I've worked with him in his shop, and he is nonstop. Like, he'll go 7 days straight every single day at the shop, and he outworks anybody else around him. It's insane to watch him do his thing, because he's fucking fast at what he does, too. But he never wrote me back, and he's kind of a dick for that. But I went to one of his classes in Arizona.
Okay. Where at in Arizona?
It was like Phoenix, I think.
Okay.
Paint Huffer put it on.
Okay.
And these classes aren't cheap, man. They're like $750 a pop. Then you got to pay for a rental car or travel.
Pay for a room.
Hotel, food, all this time. So like you're looking at
a couple grand into this,
to go to a class, right? Mm-hmm. And it's 3 days. You can only pack so much in that 3 days.
Yeah.
And but I got to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Right. And we went to lunch every day, and there's this other dude, Eric Siegel, who goes by Desert Design. So it was me, him.
I know Eric. Eric's a good dude.
Yeah, Eric's a good dude. I met Eric on social media, and then we finally got to link up at that class. But we got to go to lunch with Taylor both days, or all 3 days that we were there, right?
You're like, I'm going to be a sponge.
Well, it's like weird, right? Because like, like, you got the dude on a pedestal. Like, you've been watching him on YouTube, and he's the face of like USC and House of Color, and like, he's done all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you find out he's just a fucking person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just another human being. You know what I mean? But he's like, he's nice. He is forthcoming with knowledge and information, and he's just trying to help people along their journey inside the classroom, right? But even outside the classroom, he just wants to talk shop and just hang out. And,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm feeling him out, he's feeling me out. We're just like figuring things out, you know?
Next thing you know, you're like, wait, we get along pretty good.
Yeah, like what? Like, yeah, we're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I went to another class at his actual shop. And that's when I was like, hey,
that's
dude,
up in the Bay Area?
He's in Santa Rosa.
Okay, okay.
So that's when I threw it out. I was like, hey, if you ever need help, like, mm-hmm. just hit me up. And like, me going back 3 years ago, how did I get my in with Manny? I was like, I don't need no money.
I'll just help you.
I'll just help you. And I said the same shit. You know what I mean? Even though I know I'm worth the money now, I wanted my in
mm-hmm.
to be able to get into his shop and work alongside him and see how he does things. Mm-hmm. Right.
You wanted to learn.
I wanted to learn, dude, yeah. from this dude who I've been watching on YouTube for years, just mm-hmm. wishing I could paint a quarter as cool as he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, dude, you're an idiot. I'll pay you. And he's like,
rad,
he's like, I'll pay you. And he's like, I'll buy your flight.
Oh shit.
To come up here. Right. So we scheduled it. And I think the first time I went up there, it was supposed to be a week, but when I got there, he's like, all right, dude, we got to get these three bikes done. I have this repair done. And then like a couple little things. And he's like, and I got to get all these helmets done. Right. So it's this huge workload of stuff. And he's like, we got to jam it all into this week.
Holy shit.
Well, it didn't get done in that week. Uh-huh. Right. It was like, he's like, can you stay any longer? And I was like, yeah, probably. So I ended up being up there for 2 weeks straight, just working every single day. I don't think we took a day.
When was this?
So it had to be middle of last year, beginning of last year, or something like that. But he's like really cool. Like when we go up to classes, he'll like take us to the Redwoods or he'll take mm-hmm. us to the beach. He likes to take people out to dinner. And the weird thing about Taylor is like he knows everything. He doesn't know everything, but he knows so much shit. So many facts are in this dude's mind about like where he lives and about San Francisco. And like, he has so much knowledge going on in there. So it's like going on a tour guide with him when you're hanging out with him, right? He's got all these facts about all these areas and all this stuff. And it's actually really, really cool. And he's really good about even taking the students to mm-hmm. places that they've never been. Right.
Right. He's like, you guys came up here. Let's show you around a little bit.
Yeah. Let me show you around yep. a little bit. And even when it was just me and him, he was really good about that. Like we would mm-hmm. leave the shop early and he always took this long drive home, even though he could go straight home. He always took this long drive home, and it's just like a bunch of vineyards up there and hills and mountains. And it's like that moment of decompression from leaving the shop before he gets to his house. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, I learned to appreciate that every single day that we left the shop. We took that long way home and we just got to chill out because we were just grinding mm-hmm. for 10 hours straight at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, you don't want to come home with that.
You know what I mean? Like bringing all that pressure mm-hmm. home. But, he's been super helpful
mm-hmm.
and being able to see his process and how he does things. And I do my best not to ask him a bunch of dumbass questions.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to burn that bridge with him, mm-hmm. but what it's turned into is like a genuine friendship. Like he's able to call me and just bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to call him and just bullshit. You
just
know what
vent.
I mean? So to go from watching the dude on YouTube and then going down to my garage, trying to do what he was doing
uh-huh.
to like, being friends with the guy and being able to hang out with him and have phone calls with him. I never imagined that either.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah. Know?
But it's cool. It's a cool friendship and it's a cool relationship that we've been able to cultivate.
Dude, you're fucking doing the thing. You said earlier, like you didn't want to wait 7 years to get the wife and the kid and the truck and the bike and the like
all the things,
are yeah. here now, bro. Like yeah. you pulled up in a truck today. I know you yeah. got a bike. I know you got another one on the way.
Yeah.
You got a job. Yeah. You got, you know what I mean?
Like it's wild.
You're fucking doing it, dude.
You know what I started with? I was like, I just didn't want to have a fucking 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck that. I don't want to work for the man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to work for a paycheck. I don't want to work for somebody else. And now I work for like hundreds of people. You know what I mean? Every project is its own boss. You yeah. know? But it's afforded me this opportunity to like just be at home
because
I work in my garage. You know what I mean? And
do you have, like, I mean, obviously you just had a baby, so I know.
Yeah.
Are you getting any sleep?
Yeah, dude. Okay, I get sleep. I get sleep.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
My wife gets sleep. We're struggling, like, playing the formula juggle right now, trying to figure out what's good on his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And we just switched formulas again, and he seems like he's doing a lot better on that one. But mm-hmm. now he's got, like, his first, like, cold. He's congested.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just miserable.
Dude, the first,
can't
like,
catch a fucking break.
Couple times they get sick, it's just fucking terrifying. I got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
And I remember trying to put my son's shirt on, like, the day we brought him home. I was, like, afraid I was going to break his little yeah. arms. Like, I was like, yeah. Like, oh, fuck, it's terrifying. Dude. It's terrifying. Kids change you.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, dude. Yeah. How old is your son? He's brand new.
6 weeks.
Yeah, brand new. We were at the bike night the other night, and I was like, that's a brand. I knew you just had a kid, but I was like, fuck, I miss when my kids were that little.
Yeah.
I really do. And they're just little fucking babies, man. Like, they're just.
That's what everybody keeps saying. Dude. Like, I'm in it right now.
And you're like, I'm
not. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I'm fucking struggling with it, dude.
Yeah.
Struggling with the fact that he's a newborn. Mm-hmm. He's upset and he's crying. And he doesn't cry all the time. But when he does cry, it's like gut-wrenching.
Dude, so I've said the exact same thing a million times. There's like a primal instinct when your child cries. Another baby cries, you're like, oh, that fucking baby's crying.
Yeah.
When your baby cries, I fucking fall out of helicopters for a living. I'm not a fucking smart man.
Yeah.
But I think there's something like genetically in us to like make your response be that.
Yeah.
So that you fix whatever the fuck is wrong with your baby.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like that's, I'm pretty convinced of that. Cause like if my, and everybody knows, like as your child gets older, there's different kinds of cries. Like my son has a bullshit cry that I'm like, you motherfucker, like yeah, it ain't no real cry. You just, but then he's got a cry that I'm like,
yeah,
like, we're coming running, yeah. You know, like, but I think it's like genetically in you.
Yeah.
There's also, we're just talking about my theories now about fucking kids, but a lot of people said this and I found this true as well. Tell me if you did. I might be way off here and offend a bunch of people, but a lot of people say they find their partner like super attractive when they're pregnant.
Yeah.
Like ridiculously attractive, like 6 months pregnant, big old belly on them, the whole thing. I'm pretty sure that was like from the caveman days. Because if you had like this big belly chick following you around and like nagging you all the time and like all hormonal and shit, you probably would not have fucking stuck around. So they had to make you more physically attracted to them so that you would stick around. Right.
And my wife was beautiful before and during and even now, like after the fact, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like
they're the mother of your child.
The relationship that I have for her, the newfound respect and adoration just is unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life, right? Like you just said, that's the mother of my child, right?
And
watching her
grow
into this mother, because we've both been struggling. We're both brand new, right? Mm-hmm. We're both.
There ain't a book, bro.
There's no book. Watching her and like all the instinctual stuff that mothers do to console their baby and make it right. And don't get me wrong. She has moments, you know what I mean? Where she's like, I fucking need a break, which I get, you know what I mean? But she is way better built for the infant than I am, dude. Like she can deal with all of the things.
Yep.
Whereas like I have moments where I'm okay and like he can scream at me all he wants and I've done all the things to fix all his problems and like I'm out of things. So now I just know he's just upset.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I can deal with that for a little bit. But then when I'm done, it's like
I'm done right now.
Fucking done.
Yeah.
And you need to take this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fix problem.
And she's just growing into this role of like being a mother, dude, and like handling it and taking care of it. And just it's unreal to watch.
It's, you know. And it's gonna get crazier because next up they're gonna start saying mama dada. They're gonna start walking, they're gonna start doing stuff. Now I mean, dude, I can like FaceTime with my son. Like I can do all kinds of stuff. Which is good and bad.
Yeah.
Like I was so fucking ready for my kid to start talking. And now I'm like, man, I love you more than anything in the world. Did your first word have to be no? Because you're telling me no every 2 minutes, I will fight a fucking
baby. We are going to have a problem. Like, big problems.
Big issue.
And that's the crazy part. It's like both me and her are addicts, right? We're selfish, self-centered, self-seeking fucking people, addicts and alcoholics, right? We only care about ourselves and that next fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into like all these other areas of our lives, right? It infects every area of our life. Whatever it is, we're just selfish, self-centered, self-seeking people, right? We only care about us. And now we have this baby.
And it all changes.
And like we can't be that anymore. Like we have to be selfless with this child.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever we wanted doesn't fucking matter anymore. It's all about this baby.
Did that change for you like the second the baby was born?
No, I still struggle with it.
Really?
Still struggling with it. And I think it's just...
It's a big adjustment, bro.
It's a big adjustment.
Yeah.
Well, I had all these grand visions of my life. Mm-hmm. We're not having kids. Both of us were on the same page. Mm-hmm. We're not having kids. We want to just be able to do our own thing. You know what I mean? But the moment she found out I was pregnant, all that changed. It was like, well, we're not going to get rid of this child. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
So here we are with a baby.
Here we are. We have a baby now.
trying to figure out how to be dad and how to be mom to an infant. And it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and thankfully, like, I work from home and she's on maternity leave. So, like, I haven't had to go back to work, thankfully. So she's been able to try to utilize me to help.
Right. And that's what you're saying. You guys are kind of working in shifts.
Yeah.
Like, if I remember correctly, like, you're kind of doing like the more early morning stuff, and then you have it like later in the evening as well. Yeah. Like, where you're kind of, you're taking turns, dude.
Bouncing him back and forth, man.
It takes time, brother. Like, it takes time to figure out, like, the baby needs to set a routine. You have a 6 week old baby. Doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
No.
Like, it's
no clue.
Yeah. Like, and there's usually less problems at that age too. Like, they're hungry or they're tired or they shit themselves. Like, whatever it is. You know?
It's a bare bone list.
There's like four. We got a checklist. It's got like four things on it here.
We've gone through the checklist. All right. Well, we're going to do the checklist again. All right. Maybe let's just take him outside real quick. Maybe that'll help.
Maybe help.
It's just random things. But like, she's stepping up to the plate and more into the role of taking care of him more. Because I think she's, and I've voiced it a few times, it's like, I'm spending a lot of time in the house and I'm not getting anything done in the garage. You know what I mean? And
so your shop is in your garage.
Yeah. So, okay. So the difference is like, she's getting paid to be on maternity leave. I don't get maternity leave. I'm self-employed.
You got to put out a product.
If I don't put out work, I don't make any money. So I think she's starting to see that, and she's starting to take more of the role of just keeping him more. And I'm still not getting very much shit done. You know what I mean? But I'm getting more done than when I first came home. And thankfully, like, I'm not super stressed for money. You know what I mean? Like, I have a job that's almost done. I know I'll get paid for that. And, like, that'll carry me for a little bit longer, you know? But that's what's my biggest fear is, like, okay, well, we had this baby. And what's going to happen to Rude Paint? Like, I put in 4 years building this brand or this company or this whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? I'm a painter, but it's Rude Paint. And I'm not putting any time and effort towards a page anymore. You know what I mean?
This is all completely fucking natural, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just so you know, everybody that has ever become a dad has been like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Like, that is, you're not alone in that, bro. Like,
well, for the first time in my life, I'm like, oh my God, I need a fucking 9-to-5 job. I need benefits and retirement. And like, I got to get health insurance, and she has all that stuff and we can put him under hers, but I'm not providing shit. You know what I mean? Like, I pay bills and I buy diapers and formula and I take us out to eat and like, I'm able to afford our lifestyle, right? Because I make okay money when I'm working, but I don't have anything to give him. I don't have any security. My job is not security right now, right? Sometimes I have big jobs, sometimes I don't. And that's why you see me hustling on Instagram all the time, like skateboards, helmets, whatever it is.
You're doing the raffles.
And thankfully, like, I can paint something, and if it's cost effective for somebody, they'll buy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing in my house right now that I painted and kept for myself. Somebody has always bought it. Whether it was like super expensive or not, most of my stuff isn't. But I've been able to support myself just painting for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And now I'm on this thing of like.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you started painting, weren't you painting like at your apartment complex or something?
Yeah. It was a single car garage in an apartment complex. Brandon was my neighbor. He lived right across the hall from me, which was really, really cool. But it was a single car garage.
Dude.
I did all those bikes for Harley in that garage.
Oh my God.
I did most of the bikes for Indian in that garage. All of the raffle bikes that I've ever done, except for the couple at my house.
No shit.
Everything was done in a single car garage. No ventilation, no fucking nothing. Dude.
You're just getting it, bro.
Yeah. Thank God my neighbors were
cool.
Nobody ever said nothing. You know what I mean? But like, if you've ever seen a painter painting, it creates a fuck ton of chemicals and overspray and a bunch of shit in the air, dude. It's just wafting like out. And thankfully my neighbors never said anything, you know?
Dude,
that could have shut me down real quick.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it could have shut me down real quick. And dude, I know so many other dudes that paint the same way.
Really?
Like, they get bit by this bug and it doesn't matter. Like, I have a dude who's subscribed to my page right now. He just built a booth in his fucking basement. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a nice booth and he's got ventilation and the walls are all nice and it's carpeted. Like, he did a really, really good job, but it's in the basement of his house.
Yeah.
There's another dude that was here in San Diego. He was painting in his fucking apartment.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Which I don't recommend doing that at all.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good. But like, that's what he was doing. He was painting inside of his apartment or like on the patio of his actual apartment, you know, trying to get things done.
Yeah. Hustling.
So I get it. Like, you get bit by this bug, you want to do it, you're going to do it by any means necessary. But that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
To paint inside your fucking apartment.
Yeah.
But I think he just moved to Yuma, so.
Okay.
I don't know what he's doing now, but like that, I don't think I would have done that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to.
That's ballsy.
I'm not going to chemically fill my apartment where I sleep, you know?
Paint.
Yeah, with paint fumes. So, but even, dude, a lot of these big names, they don't have booths either.
Really?
You know what I mean? They're just painting in a shop,
mm-hmm.
you know? But it's not a quote unquote, I'm doing air fingers booth. Mm-hmm. setting, you know, they just have a shop with a roll up door and they mm-hmm. just roll up the door and they wet the floor and they do their work and they get a big fan to blow the fucking,
all the shit out.
Yeah. All the shit out.
Yeah. Just a little ventilation.
So I'm not painting any different. It's just in my home garage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I remember you talking about that when we were up north cause you were getting ready to move, I believe.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I won't have to paint in my apartment anymore. I was like,
yeah,
dude. What? Like, I had no idea.
That single, dude, that single car garage was gnarly.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't know how I ever got anything done in there.
Dude, you got some shit done in there.
I painted a lot of bikes. I painted a lot of bikes. And now I have double the room, but I still don't have any room, if that makes sense.
No, it 100% does.
You know?
It doesn't. I mean, we just recently moved, and I had no idea how much shit I had. I had a 1,087 square foot house in Armona, California. And when I went to move, I was like, why is there so much shit?
Why do I have so much crap?
Why? I threw so much shit away.
Yeah. Like, and that's the society we live in, dude. It's just like, we just throw shit away now. You know what I mean? It's no reason. I'll just buy new shit. Yeah.
I did that with a couple things.
I'll just buy it new, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you go back to like, my parents always had like, kind of like this house, like everything was like hardwood and nice and fancy and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took it everywhere they went. You know what I mean? It was like 30-year-old furniture.
This shit came with you. They had the grandfather clock and the bed and the dresser.
Right.
That was my stuff.
Now it's just like IKEA bought shit. You move, I'm like,
I'll spend $200 on a dresser next week. I don't give a fuck.
I'll chuck this. I don't care about this. You know, this is not that important to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's like a whole subculture of the painters, I feel like. I didn't know any of this before.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
Well, this is the thing. Is like, COVID did this thing, and it did it with tattoo artists and a lot of homemakers, like a lot of people started doing their own things at home, whatever that looked like to them, whether it was making soap or weaving baskets or clay, whatever the fuck they wanted to do. They were like, man, I got all this time and the government's paying me. I might as well learn how to do something.
Right.
Know? So it was this huge influx of painters, and I'm one of them. I'm guilty of it. I started during COVID. I'd already been painting panels and stuff like that, but I'd never done any custom work. But like, there's a bunch of us that all started during COVID on YouTube trying to learn some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the sad part about it is it has watered down the industry for these guys that have been here for 20 years and that charge what they charge.
But you're getting 20 years of experience.
But you're getting 20 years of experience with those guys. And then there's these dudes that just started, you know what I mean? And some of them want to try and charge just as much when they might not deserve that price, you know? And I'm not, I don't want to knock nobody. Like, however you learned is however you fucking learned, right? You're figuring it out on your own, whatever. Like, my journey was my journey. But I always wanted to have, like, a respect thing for these guys that paved the way. You know what I mean?
It makes a lot more sense now.
That's where the humility comes in.
Yeah.
I'm not this 4-year painter that's out here acting all in fucking ego, thinking I'm fucking hot dog fucking shit, right? Because there's all these other guys that have been doing this for 20 years that will kill me in painting a bike. But they don't get the same recognition because they're not as active on social media. That's all it is. You know what I mean? But if you go to events and you go to shows, those are all the bikes that you see painted, right? And it's also been watered down, like the quality of work, right? There's all these tips and tricks and bullshit products and all this stuff out there that people are using, and it waters down the end result, you know?
I saw you post something, I think it was yesterday, about tips and tricks, and you're like, there are none.
There are no shortcuts. There's no fucking shortcuts to this, to this craft, man. It's like...
There was something that... do you know Jason from Ride Faster Pussy?
Yeah, he's actually thrown parts in one of my raffles before.
Dude.
Yeah.
Jason's a fucking rad motherfucker. He posted something, I'll never forget it. It was probably close to a year ago. And he was like, don't ever get into a hustle and expect to blow up.
No.
And I have thought about that every week since I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people jump into something and they have like a sense of entitlement. And you're like, I didn't, like, do you deserve that?
Yeah.
You know?
Bro, I did. I painted one fucking bike.
Wasn't it Brendan's bike?
Yeah. Well, it was mine, and then it was Brendan's. I was like, why isn't Taylor Schultz messaging me back? I painted a fucking motorcycle. You know what I mean? Dude's thousands of motorcycles into the game, right? Oh, but I feel like I had earned something. You know what I mean? And it's, well, it's the same thing with, like, when I went to Born Free, and somebody introduced me to Jace from Fast Life, right? But the dude didn't even get out of his fucking seat to talk to me. And here we are 3 years later. I've still held on to that, right? Like, the dude didn't even, like, give me the time of day. And I'm looking at him with respect and adoration. Like, I fucking love your work. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But for him to not even like get up and acknowledge me. And again, it's like, where the fuck did I deserve that? I'm a fucking nobody. Right. I painted a handful of fucking motorcycles.
But you're like, I got a chip on my fucking shoulder.
But this is the thing is like, he came down here, he did a podcast with Brendan and a bike that I painted is sitting on the showroom of San Diego Harley. And he saw that bike and Brendan was like,
yeah, was that the bagger?
It wasn't the bagger. It was just like a fat bob or something. Okay. You know what I mean? Not the coolest thing I ever painted.
Mm-hmm.
But so he knew of me, but I held on to that for some fucking reason. Like, fuck, dude couldn't even like acknowledge me.
I mean, stand up.
But I'm super introverted too.
No, I get it.
And after listening to him, he kind of is too. If it's not like the right setting, he's introverted too. Like on the podcast, it's in his zone. He'll talk and talk and talk.
Yep. Yeah.
As an artist, he's probably just like me. You put him around a bunch of fucking people, it's like, fuck, this is a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and he's already talking shop with all these people all day long, you know? Mm-hmm.
And he's so, Jace, I've met him a couple times. He probably has no idea who I am. But so many people know him.
Yeah.
So like everywhere he goes, it's probably
nonstop.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? You know, I talked to him for like 5 minutes and how's the ride from Texas? You know, I was at Born Free. That was it. There's probably 200 other fucking people that came up to that dude that day.
Right.
You know?
And by then he's probably burnt out. But it's like, even at Parts and Labor, like you look at Brian from Clockworks, right? I couldn't even get in a conversation with that guy because there's so many people that want to come up and say hi and what's up and shake his hand and see what's up. And I'm just trying to get to a 5 minute conversation with the guy and see if we can like work together. You know?
And he's, finish your story. I'm sorry.
But it's like, that's the same thing that most of these guys have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, he's got to be out there and he's got to be shaking hands and he's got to be friendly with everybody. He's got to acknowledge everybody because those are the people that are supporting his brand.
Yep. And Brian's the kind of guy, if it wasn't for Brian Clock, not that we're fucking doing anything special, but our Scottsdale, Arizona show for us is like our Super Bowl. I talk about it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It was kind of Clockworks that gave me the confidence to do that. Yeah. Like I had reached out to him and because we had gone up there in 2022. Dan and I went up there. We had a good time out at Arizona Bike. We had a fucking blast. And then like a year later, we've got, I don't know, fucking 200 shirts or whatever in the garage. And we have no idea what we're doing. We're just fucking off.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fun. And we were talking about it and we were like, dude, Cave Creek, Westworld, all these places have a motorcycle show. Scottsdale Harley doesn't have one.
What's up?
Like, let's just try it, you know? And I was like, we're going to have to get some help if we're going to do this. We have no idea. We need some form of legitimacy here.
Right.
Because they're going to look at our two fucking retarded, drunk 90% of the time asses.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, get lost.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah. So I just messaged Clockworks. Just on my Facebook group page that had 300 followers at the time. And they read it.
Yeah.
And they never messaged me back.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I guess that didn't really work out, you know? Like a week later was Biltwell, Parts and Labor. This guy comes over. I didn't know him. He goes, hey, which one of you runs the Instagram page? And I was like,
it Shelton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Shelton,
fucking
dude.
Man, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, which one of you runs the Instagram page? I was like, that's me. He's like, I read your message. I saw it. I then saw you're going to be here. So I just figured we'd have a face-to-face conversation. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit. Okay. Tight. So we talk and he hears me out. I feel like I'm doing a fucking interview. You know what I mean?
I feel like you're trying to sell yourself on these people. You know what I mean? Yes. I get it.
So he's like, all right, you're going to come meet Brian. I'm like, Brian Clock? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So he comes over and Brian's like, what do you got? And I just run out this whole, I'd been nonstop thinking about this for 2 months, and I just
let But you had a game plan before you went to him.
Yes.
Right.
And he's like, he hears me out. He looks at Shelton. He goes, make it happen.
Yeah.
And we've been just doing shit ever since. You know what I mean?
Like, because that was kind of my experience too. Is like I was in.
He's that kind of guy that wants to help people.
I was
that
in is talks who he is. With Shelton. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Just conversation. Back and forth. Back and forth. And I finally threw myself out there and said, this is what I'm trying to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's like,
okay,
cool. You know, I'll try and introduce you to Brian at Biltwell. And met Brian, and Brian was like, yeah, let's make something happen.
Yep.
You know I mean? Like, I'm down to work with you.
Shelton is a very hard person to read sometimes.
Yeah. I got that vibe too.
Yeah.
He showed no emotion. No inkling of anything at all. You know what I mean? I was like, is this going good? Is this going bad?
I have no idea.
Does he even like me? Do I need to stop talking? You know what I mean? But then you go over and you meet Brian, and Brian's like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it. You know?
Yep.
But same thing about Shelton. Shelton's like, he's like, I'm kind of introverted.
He's super introverted.
He's like, I'm not.
Yep.
It's not really my thing. You know what I mean? But you put him behind the booth. Yeah. That's his job. He's like in it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I get it, but it took me, 4 years to like go and even introduce myself to another company? I go to Biltwell almost every year, dude. Don't
hang out with me, dude. I'll be introducing you to fucking everybody.
I don't talk to nobody, dude.
Yep.
And that's just my own fear and shit. And then this year, like, I told myself, I was like, I'm going to actually try to talk to some of these companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, okay, I'm 4 years in the game. I've painted a lot of cool stuff. I've done a lot of cool things. Now I feel like I have some legitimacy to put on the
table.
You
have a resume.
Right. I have a resume that I can say, hey, look, this is what I'm trying to do. I want to use your products on my bike. How do we make that happen? I'm not expecting nothing for free, but I would like to do some sort of trade work.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really all I got to offer you right now is like my skills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an endless stream of money to build a bike.
But I have a very valuable set of skills.
But I have some skills that I can bring to the table if you want something done. You know what I mean? And that worked for me this year with two separate companies. One of them actually came through. You know what I mean? Like Brian and Shelton, that FXRT variant is sitting in my garage right now.
No shit.
For my bike, right? So like they came through on their end of the deal.
Fucking cool.
Right? And still, there's a part of me that's like, oh God, I don't know if I deserve this. You know I mean? Stupid, huh? Even though it's in my garage, right?
You already did it.
But it's like, those are the relationships that I want to try and keep cultivating. You know what I mean? Because I want to be able to build and paint cool bikes, but I can't afford to do what some of these guys do. You know what I mean? It's an expensive hobby. It's an extremely expensive hobby.
Yeah. There's people that get free motorcycles and ain't me and you, bro.
No. No. I've gotten some paint supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've gotten a couple fairings, you know, but that's kind of it. But I don't go to people asking for free shit. It's more like kinda like the industry discount. You know what I mean? It's like standard 20% across the board. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ride Faster Pussy, he was cool enough to be like, yeah, you can just pay this. And he gave me a derby cover and timing cover. And
he's got nice. Those derby covers are nice as fuck.
I wanted to keep the fucking thing.
Yep.
Problem was I said I would put it in the raffle. You know what I mean? So. All these parts that I pay for, I end up just giving to somebody else, you know?
And then it comes back to, I know, like, with Garrett's bike, didn't he donate a set of tins so you could do another one?
Bro, he's one of the, like, winners in my book.
You want to talk about an introvert.
Yeah.
That dude's very introverted.
But
he is one of the fucking coolest motherfuckers. Yeah. So, yeah, he donated back, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the coolest things that somebody can do is, like, I painted your bike. You have a brand new set of tins to put on your bike.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn around and gave me your old set so that I can do it again, right? And it's like paying it forward.
100%.
Because when I don't, when somebody, that's only happened twice, right? And I've done over a handful of these things, right? And I pay everything out of pocket up front. I do all the paint work. So I'm in it thousands of dollars before I even start selling tickets, usually. Right. And for him to be able to say, no, you can just have
just
this.
Take this one.
Yeah, you just have this set. You know what I mean? And it was in good fucking condition.
Like, yeah.
I still have the tank and the full fender like wrapped up in my garage because they were in such good condition.
No shit.
Yeah. I think I used the front fender for something, but the back fender and the tank were just, they're like, they're in good shape.
Time to do another raffle.
And it's like, well, I'm running one right now.
Are you?
I've been running one for like since before the baby was born, and then the baby was born, and like I haven't been posting about
it.
I got like 70 stickers left that I need to sell.
Okay.
I have to sell them. Otherwise, I'm not going to fucking pull a winner.
Because
if I don't pull in a certain amount of money, it's like not worth it to me.
Right.
So I got to get back on that and start posting about that. And it's just been slow going. And normally they sell out pretty quick, but it is what it is. You know, nobody's really, only a couple guys have been like, hey, what's up with the raffle?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honest. I'm like, bro, I'm busy. I got a newborn. Mm-hmm. I got three jobs.
That's the most understandable thing in the world. I have a 6-week-old.
Yeah. Like, I got three bikes in my garage that like I need to get finished. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I have a lot of shit on my plate that isn't revolving around the raffle. But
right.
It's like, how do you impress upon these people? Like, I'm honest. Mm-hmm. I'm trustworthy. I'm not out here to fucking dick over nobody. You know what I mean? Like, if you buy a spot, you're going to be in the raffle.
Right. It's I just don't want to win the winners. Yeah. Shit. Right.
It's just as simple as that. I don't give a fuck if my friends win. I'm not here. And like, I've had people hit me up. They're like, hey, what do I have to do to win? And I'm like, you got to buy a fucking sticker.
And then you got to get your sticker
and
drawn.
And then you got to get your fucking number called. Like, yeah. That's how it works. I'm not going to fuck off my name for nothing. You know what I mean? It's not worth it to me.
No. You can't do that. That's what were you painting for? And you said you got three bikes in the works right now?
I'm doing that last bike for Indian.
Okay.
So it's a bagger, Challenger.
No shit.
Once I finish this bike and deliver, I'll be able to pick up that lowrider S that they've been holding for me this entire time, which is cool.
What year is it?
2021.
Okay.
It's got 4,000 miles. It's bone stock.
That's fine.
Somebody already ripped out the baffles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's a nice looking bike.
Yeah.
You know, but to be able to have the opportunity to just do paintwork and get a whole motorcycle.
Take it.
Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah. You know? And,
are you going to paint it for yourself?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't.
Yeah.
My vision for myself, I would love to have both of these bikes painted and done up in my budget, you know, that I can afford. And then when I do go to events and I do go to shows, I have something to show people. You know what
right.
Because I mean? A lot of times I end up with just like skateboards and helmets and then trying to hit up people and be like, hey, what are you doing on Saturday from 4 to 10 p.m.? Can you just blot out an entire time to come sit at my booth and do absolutely nothing? You know what I mean? That's hard to do for some people. And some of these shows aren't huge events.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like hitting up my friends and being like, hey, I know I painted your bike. Can you just come park it at my booth all fucking day? You know, they got lives and they got jobs, you know? So I want to be able
to. But that's also an opportunity for them, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's always cool when somebody's like, hey, come down, you know?
Yeah. But usually it's just like a fucking small Harley thing, you know? It's not like I got a booth at Born Free, bro.
None if you don't have a booth at Born Free,
none of
I'm
us
not
have a
one.
Booth at Born Free. So, but I need to get to that point where like I have my own bike done, and it's been years. Since
you just show it off,
and I can just park it.
Yep.
And people can actually see like what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see it on a skateboard, you can see it on a helmet, but it's not the same.
Yep.
When you see it done on a whole bike,
right?
It's all
right.
Detailed and shiny and fancy. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been years since I've done my own bike how I want it done. Like, I tried to do Flames not too long ago, but I wasn't really happy with it, so.
I've heard Flames are hard.
They are.
Are they?
Yeah. If you do Flames all the time, they're not hard.
Right.
But me, it was my first time doing Flames on a bike, and I was like, I hate this.
I don't like Flames at all.
You want a panel-style bike?
I'm gotcha. Your guy.
People are like, hey, can you do race-inspired? I'm like, I can do panel race-inspired. Can you do a Vicla? I can do panel inspired Vicla. You know what I mean? But that's what I learned on. That's all I've ever really done.
Yeah. And it does seem like with painters, correct me if I'm wrong, that they all have like styles, a niche. Yeah. You can look at a bike and be like, all right, that's a fast life bike. All right, that's a repaint bike. All right, 100%. That's a, you know, like 100%. You can kind of tell people's styles.
Yeah. 100%. Well, it's like fast life has his own style. You know, he painted that bike.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually the same for Taylor.
Okay.
Right. And there's probably some other people. What's that other dude? Lucky Strikes.
Yeah.
Lucky Strikes has a style, but it's like his is completely unique from the other two guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think it takes some time to develop your style and your niche. Because if you look at my stuff, it's very much Taylor Schultz's style, right? And then it's me trying to make it my own and figure out what I want on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the inspiration comes from. And that's where a lot of these dudes' inspiration come from. And nobody really knows that. Like all these people doing panel style bikes, like Taylor's the guy who like started that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the panel style West Coast paint over metal flake and candy paint.
Yeah.
Then he incorporates base coats and pinstriping and leaf. Like he is like one of the starters of that. So okay. A lot of this panel style work is all inspired by him. And then when you talk to some of these newer guys, they're like, yeah, I was on Taylor's page and I was inspired by him. And that's why this bike is painted this way. Cause I had to go to his page and look at all of his work to get inspiration. You know what I mean?
That was kind of funny earlier. We were talking and you were like, yeah, I went to one of his classes out in Arizona and I met this guy, Eric Siegel. I'm like, Desert Designs? Like that's a small world,
Bro, it's a tiny community.
Mm-hmm.
I think where I fucked up is like I only added painters really on my Instagram. So that's all I see on my feed.
How is that fucking up?
Because all I'm doing is comparing myself to everybody else, right? And on Instagram, it only shows you the fucking highlight reel. It doesn't show you anything else. You know what I mean? And behind the scenes, like I see a lot of these dudes fuck ups because they'll fucking tell me about it or they'll show me or they'll ask, like, how do I fix this? You know what I mean? And that's kind of been my role since I started was like I've always been helpful to everybody else.
Yeah.
And like I go to these classes and I spend these thousands of dollars and stay up for 18 hours straight. You know what I mean?
Then you're like, I'm going to give it all away for free.
And then people are like, they want to know. And I'm like, yeah, I give it away. But I finally reached a point where I was like, it had gotten so big and so many people were asking me for help. I was like, I need to monetize this somehow because it's just beginning to be too much. Mm-hmm. I'm answering too many questions. And then ego comes into play. It's like, nobody's giving me credit. You know what I mean? Like you just started your paint page 2 days ago. I just helped you through that entire bike because it all fucked off on you.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't tell a single fucking soul. Like, thank God for Rude Paint for coming through and helping me fix my problem. You know what I mean? I was like, why am I not getting no credit? Like I basically painted the bike for you over social media. That's my ego, though. You know, that's all ego. So I finally monetized it and I started offering subscriptions. None of the guys that I helped in the beginning have subscribed. Well, a couple of them, maybe. But most of these guys, they're not subscribed. They're not paying that $20 a month to learn. But there's 43 other fucking people that are paying $20 a month.
No shit.
Yeah, there's 43 people subscribed to my page right now. This is the craziest part about it, is they're helping each other because there's a group thread, right? There's like 36 people in the actual group thread out of the 43.
So you've created a little community.
So I've created my own little paint community within the Rude Paint channel, and they're just helping each other. Right. So like if I'm not able to get to the questions,
somebody else help out.
They're answering and helping each other.
That's fucking cool. Which is
fucking rad to see. So cool. Right. Because I haven't been available, but they're just helping each other. You know what I mean? And then one of the paint companies joined.
Okay.
He pays $20 a month just to be in there. And he just offers tech on his paint products and all the other products because he's been painting for a long time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just in there helping.
Holy shit.
And answering tech questions, and then he offers everybody 10% off their first order if they use code RUDE. And it's like all these things that I'm like, is this really happening? It's like, is this real? Is this what people do in the industry? You know what I mean? And I'm not sharing anything that's not like secret knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But to be able to have the opportunity to hit me up directly and message me and ask your question when you're in the thicks of it, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to figure it out. You're having an issue. You don't know what's up. And you're able to just hit me up and say, hey, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And I'm able to walk you through that, fix your problems so you can keep it pushing. You're like, fuck, this $20 is like not enough. Like, I feel like so many of them have been like, I feel like I should be paying you more.
No shit.
I'm like, if I could charge more, I would. But would people pay it? I don't know. You know what I mean?
That's just fucking badass that you've created in 4 years.
Yeah.
Literally a little community.
It's unreal. And I just wanted to keep growing. You know what I mean? And it does offer me a little bit of money, you know, which has been cool because I've been not really getting anything done with the baby.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them pop in and they'll subscribe for a month or two. They'll learn whatever they need to learn and then they pop back out.
They get their value out of it. Yeah.
Or they feel like they're not getting enough value out of it because believe it or not, I don't have that many videos up yet on my subscription page, but you're paying for what videos I do post as I'm posting them. Then you're paying for the group chat and all the knowledge and resources that offers from all these other painters. Because there's people that are custom painters. There's pinstripers. There's a couple detailers.
Okay.
There's guys that run like refinish shops. They just do repair work on cars and shit all day long, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the paint companies that are in there. And then there's people that are just like at home just fucking around.
Just want to learn.
Yeah, just want to learn something new. You know what I mean? So, and then like there's guys that like I've gotten on the phone with because they're having an issue, right? And it's like, call me. Show me what's up. Like, what do you got going on? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then there's a dude, Blake. I think he was subscribed for like 4 months. we all got him through his bike, mm-hmm. right? And he pulled up to the house like last week on his bike that he painted and he leafed and he pinstriped all on his own. And then he rode over to the house just to chop it up. You know what I mean? And like show off his work. And it's like, fuck, okay, cool. We helped him with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Super cool. So.
That's fucking rad, man.
Yeah. It's pretty dope, dude. I never imagined that like that would be a thing either. You know, like people subscribing.
That's been the third story today of I never imagined. I never imagined well, like.
None of this seems real most of the time. Like it's just unreal. Like you got to think. I'm a fucking diehard junkie, right? My whole life was just drugs and jail and prison and just all this horrible stuff that I did to myself and all the people around me. That's all I did. That's all I did for a long time. So to come out of that and then build all of this and it's all positive and like mm-hmm. helpful to other people. And I think maybe that's where a lot of it comes from is like I took a lot from everybody that was around me. I was just a thief of just money and property and joy and happiness and just I just stole everything around me, right? If it wasn't bolted down, I was fucking taking it to the pawn shop or selling it to somebody for dope. Now here we are 7 years later. I no longer like openly lie to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not dishonest. I don't steal. Like there's all these things in my life that are just completely polar opposite to how I used to live. And then I have all this knowledge and I just try to give it away to people. I'm giving all of it because yeah. I was just a taker. So now it's like I'm trying to like rebalance the scales of my right. life and make up for all the shitty things I did. And I think that's where a lot of it comes from
mm-hmm.
is I was just a piece of shit person.
And you had guys that took a chance on you between Manny and Taylor and all that. Now mm-hmm. you're paying that forward.
Manny did not have to let me in his shop. Mm-hmm. Taylor did not have to let me in his shop. These paint companies did not have to put me on and like send me products and do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Clockworks didn't have to send me an FXRT fairing. You didn't have to put me on this podcast. Like there's all these things that have happened in my life that like nobody had to give me an opportunity.
You're making the most of it.
And now here I am trying to help other people have the same opportunity.
Fuck yeah, man.
Like, you want to build a paint business mm-hmm. or you want to learn how to custom paint bikes? Cool. I got you. And I tell these guys the moment they enter, anything that I have in my fucking brain that I've already done is your knowledge. Gotcha. All you have to do is ask. It's cool.
Now here you are.
Here I am.
Well, what are you doing the rest of the year? Like what? Obviously you have a newborn.
I have a baby. That's what I'm doing, dude. Just dadding it up. I don't really have anything on my books, man. I got this bagger for Indian. Some dude in Oklahoma, Louisiana sent me an ST with no bags. He doesn't want the bags done. He's going to put on different bags.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm literally working on a bike right now. Oh, I'm doing a bike for Coronado Beach Harley.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but fucking whatever. So Coronado Beach Harley hit me up and they were like, hey, we need to do this 3-piece bike. And I was like, okay, cool. It's going to be this much. Well, it's Law Tigers, right? Gabe at Law Tigers.
Okay.
He's the one that initiated all of this. And I was like, cool, I'll do it. It's going to be this much. And they were like, okay, fine. So I'm in the middle of painting this bike. And they're all going to put it all together. And then they're going to unveil it. And they're going to give it away mm-hmm. for free to somebody. You know what
Shit.
I mean? It's like a 2020 heritage, kind of like Vicla styled out. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's got the big bars and fishtail pipes and shit. You know, it's not really our style. But somebody's going to be stoked.
Somebody's going to be fucking stoked.
To get a bike.
Yep.
So that's the bike I'm working on like right now. I'm trying to get it done. I was literally just pinstriping it before I came over here.
Okay.
So I just have to clear it, cut and buff it, and deliver it.
Fuck, dude. So you've got an Indian bike, a Harley bike, and then...
Dude, my truck's parked outside. I have half of that dude's bike in my truck, the dude from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I have half of his bike in my truck, and then I have half of my bike in the front seat mm-hmm. of my truck in primer, because obviously all this other work came on, and mine just goes to the back burner. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So I got all mine in primer, and I was waiting on the fairing from Clockworks, and then all this other stuff started showing up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so my shit gets put on the back burner because I got to do all this other stuff first.
Right.
But I'll get to it eventually. You know what I mean?
Was it weird? Have you started that Challenger yet?
Yeah, I got all the color on it.
Okay.
Yeah, all the color logos. It was, mind you, this is only the second bagger I've ever done, right?
That first one was a Road Glide for San Diego Harley, right?
Yeah.
That was a darker colored paint, I remember. Yeah.
And everybody was stoked on it, but I look at pictures of it and I don't like it. And now I'm doing one now. And of course, like, they're like, we want to do like a race inspired bike. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that even means. You know what I mean, I can look at a million pictures, but like, I don't have the knowledge that like people might think I have.
Mm-hmm. Like, I've only been doing this for 4 years. God damn it.
I've only been doing this 4 years. You know what I mean? I got a 20 something bikes under my belt.
Yeah.
And, so this is my first Indian bagger. And, I kind of just did whatever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me one color that he wanted on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just made up the rest as I went. And, Silver leafed it, and it looks fucking bitchin'.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stefan came over the other day, and everything was all sitting on stands, and he walked through the garage, and he comes in, and he goes, that fucking bike looks sick.
Like, who, Stefan, who has one of the sickest fucking paint jobs out here.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn. I haven't seen him since I've been down here.
He's, dude, the dude is just grinding.
Is he?
So he's got, he's had like a 1 year plan to like save up as much money as possible, and then he's moving to Tennessee with his chick.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So we're all going to Tulum, Mexico in November.
Fuck yeah.
They're getting married on a beach.
Fuck yeah.
And then they're literally gonna move to Tennessee. So he's just grinding. Like, he's working two jobs, she's working two jobs.
Just hustling.
Just hustling and stacking money.
Good.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, then I definitely need to see him before he moves to Tennessee.
Yeah.
His bike, dude. The story about the pentagram on the bike is kind of funny, actually. Yeah.
I did not want to do it. I really didn't. It's not my thing. You know what I mean? Like, whatever floats your boat. I don't care. I'm not a judgmental person.
And you've painted that bike twice, right?
Second time. So the first time, this is a cool story. The first time I did it, I was still at Manny's shop, right? And that's Manny's layout. When you look at that picture, Manny laid out that whole bike. Because what happened was, I was at the shop late. Manny had already gone home. And I went to go start spraying graphics on this thing, right? And all the paint peeled off. All of the candy was peeling off with the fucking vinyl stencils. And of course, I felt defeated and broken and just like, why did I ever believe that I could do this? And I've had a lot of moments like that in painting, but this was the first one.
Okay.
And I luckily was able to clean all the candy off of the cleared metal flake and still save the base, right? Manny comes in the next day. He lays out this entire bike for me. And then he starts walking me through the whole process of spraying candies and how we do the shading and how we're going to do this lace. So the paint job that Stefan ended up with that time wasn't anything that he really wanted. You know what I mean? And but it didn't matter because it came out absolutely fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And it just like was a beautiful paint job. And he was stoked. And it wouldn't have been that if it was just me doing it, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. You know what I mean? I had no clue what I was doing.
You're like, I made this.
Yeah. So thankfully, Manny was like there to coach me through that. You know what I mean? Now, this bike that he has now, this is more along the lines of what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But 4 years ago, I didn't know how to fucking do this. I didn't know.
It's aggressive.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick.
Never would have been able to pull it off. There's no way in hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now he's got like kind of what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the first time he wanted pentagrams on his bike, and Manny was like, we are not bringing that motherfucking bullshit in my shop. You know what I mean? So at that point, it was like, you're not getting it, bro. Like, the boss says no. It's a no, you know? And then this time around, I was like, look, dude, I just spent like 6 weeks doing all this cool shit on your bike. Like, you're going to make me cover up the fucking fairing with this big ass gold leaf pentagram. I was like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, I'm going to send you another $500. I was like, fuck. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Which is, I mean, it, in all actuality, like if he wanted to buy a clear windshield and replace the windshield, he could, but it would totally take away from the bike.
Yeah.
You know?
It's beautiful. Yeah. That bike is fucking awesome.
But anytime he comes to an event, I'm like, why the fuck don't I have a bike that looks cool like this? why is mine in pieces and look like a piece of shit?
Why does my best friend have this? Why don't I have this?
And like, rightfully so, he paid for it. You know what I mean? Like, I think he ended up paying like $5,500 for that paint job, which is dirt cheap. But he still paid for that bike. You know what I mean? He paid to have it painted. But every time I see it at a show and I see it under the lights at the dealer, I'm like, why the fuck don't I have anything that looks like any remotely cool like this, you know?
Well, you got that 21 Lowrider coming in.
Yeah, which is the same exact bike he has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same exact bike, but he's got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of parts in his bike, you know?
That bike's done really well. That's always been one of my pet peeves is a bike not flowing, if that makes sense. Whether it be the paint or the parts, or if it just looks like somebody just threw everything that they fucking could at it, that's always kind of irked me. But that bike is done very tastefully. There's a lot going on, but it's done right.
Yeah. It really showcases like what you can do if you want to paint some wild shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like that's not everybody's style. You know what I mean? But
right.
everybody stops to look at it because you can't help but respect what the fuck is going on in it. You know what I mean? And still to this day, it's probably the most intricate bike I've ever painted.
It really?
Yeah.
That's fucking, it's pretty fucking intricate.
Yeah.
Like
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. I got a badass video of it. We were up in Yosemite and we'd come through the valley and we parked up top. I don't remember who, if it was Elise or somebody was like, no, we need to come through this entrance. And I took a video of just like, it started at the tire of his bike and went up and went above the fairing and you saw the pentagram. And in the background, you had L cap on one time and half dome. Yeah. And it's like, I am not a photographer, but I felt like one that day with that fucking video.
That was an
like,
epic trip, dude. You know, that was the farthest I've ever gone on my bike.
Was it really?
Yeah. It's the farthest I've ever gone. I'm like all city, you know what I mean? And then that trip came up and I was just, we were on our way. We were about to get married and like I didn't have anything planned for my bachelor party. It's like, bro, I don't want to do shit. I don't want to spend no fucking money. I don't want to go nowhere. Like, I'm good, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that trip came up. So I was like, come on, let's just go.
Yep.
And the girls were going to Vegas. So it was like, all right, cool.
Perfect.
Like, why not? You know what I mean? And it ended up being like a rad.
It was sick, dude. That was super cool for me because I didn't like I was invited and I didn't really know any of you guys. That was the day I met you.
Yeah.
You know? And everybody was just super fucking cool. Like
I already knew about you because of social media.
Yeah, right. We knew who each other were kind of thing. But that was the day we actually met.
Yeah.
And that was like a week after Garrett had won your raffle or something. Like it was right around the same time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you guys were like, hey man, are you hungry? Do you need food? What do you need?
It was such a rad trip, dude. Such a rad experience. And I'm glad that we got to do something like that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I see all you guys that like go on these long rides and you go on all these trips and like you have all this fucking badass fun. It's like, I've never really done anything like that. You know, I kind of just hang out in the garage and
paint motorcycles.
Paint cool shit. You know what I mean? Like that's my niche.
But then so like there's guys, good friends of mine that look at that and they're like, fuck dude, this dude just gets to paint in his garage. How fucking sick is that?
Yeah.
You know? So there's different people are looking at it different in different aspects.
Yeah. Everybody's like, grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. We're all just trying to figure it out, bro.
We're looking at everybody else's life. It's like, oh, that looks fucking cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I wish I could do that.
I think we're doing it, though.
Making it happen, dude.
We're trying.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. Well, it's getting late, man. I don't want to keep you here too long because I know you got a baby. But where can everybody find you? I guess that's what I'm supposed to say here. I don't know.
Rude Paint on Instagram.
Check them out.
One word. RUDEPAINT.
If they can't spell rude paint, then they probably can't afford a paint job.
Probably not. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, bro.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely.